Hello, I'm Bruce from the Talking Information Center, and today I'll be reading articles from the Salem News for Friday, August 21st. Salem, SESD at odds. Disagreements over hosting and improvements by Michael McHugh. As the South Essex Sewers District is calling upon its member communities for their support for legislation to modernize their regional wastewater system, Salem officials are continuing their long-standing request of increased compensation for hosting the facility. The South Essex Sewers District, SESD, which provides wastewater treatment services to Beverly, Danvers, Marblehead, Peabody, Salem, and portions of Middleton and Wenham, is seeking special legislation for an exemption of Proposition 2.5, which prevents its funding from each member community from increasing by more than 2.5% in a single year. SESD does not bill residents directly, but assesses each municipality annually and determines the cost based on their usage. According to SESD Executive Director David Michelson, relief from the constraints of Proposition 2.5 is necessary in order to raise the needed funds for rising costs such as electricity, natural gas, chemicals, and residuals disposal, in addition to critical infrastructure modernization for aging equipment, some of which is almost 30 years old. The mechanical equipment here, the roofs, the exhaust fans, the air conditioners, it's all past its design life, Michelson said. We do what we can on an annual basis to make improvements and change individual systems out, but we need a facility-wide set of improvements. If we don't take a more proactive approach and we wait until they do fail because we don't have the money otherwise to fix them, it just costs more to repair. Salem's current estimated bill from SESD for this fiscal year is $5 million, with payments over the next 10 years totaling approximately $63 million. Under SESD's draft proposal, without the constraints of Proposition 2.5, it's estimated that Salem would instead pay a total of $76 million over the next 10 years, an increase of $13.08 million. According to Michelson, while no formal agreement with each member communities is necessary in order for the legislation to pass, the district has been advised by the legislative delegation that it is important to have a consensus from all five municipalities in order to be successful in getting the legislation passed. So far, only the Marblehead Water and Sewer Commission has formally sent a letter of response to SESD's draft resolution in support of the legislation. In response to the request for support, local officials in Salem have expressed an understanding that the financial realities of operating the treatment facility have fundamentally changed over the last several decades, but argue that this same logic is not being applied to the compensation the city receives for hosting the facility and not taxing the property, which has remained static since 1997. Since 2015, the city has made multiple requests to SESD to adjust the annual payment in lieu of taxes, PILOT, compensation that the city receives to cover the cost of hosting the water treatment facility, which has remained at $500,000 with no adjustment for inflation for nearly 3 decades. In addition to impacts to neighbors such as traffic and odor, city officials have argued that the significantly higher value of the facility's waterfront property today should warrant an adjustment to the flat rate. Assuming a 3% annual increase of the flat $500,000 annual payment between 1997 and 2026, where the current payment for 2026 would have risen to $1,178,283, Salem would have earned roughly $8.79 million in additional pilot payments from the past 29 years. It's hard to specify how much the city has lost, Mayor Dominic Pangallo said. In the large scheme, with SESD budget currently at around $26 million and their Proposition 2.5 request to exceed that by many millions more, the cost of an inflation adjustment on the pilot is not only fair, but it's minor when considered among the thousands of ratepayers in the district municipalities. Salem has also requested that any legislation include a measure to increase the city's representation on SESD's board by 2 additional seats, bringing Salem's portion from 1 out of 6 to 3 out of 8, in order to better reflect the city's position as the host community. This is aimed to address the fact that any adjustments to the city's pilot agreement has been blocked multiple times through votes by the board, which is currently made up of 1 representative from each member community, as well as SESD board chair Michael Parsons. City Councilor-at-Large Ty Hapworth said that city officials understand the critical need for modernizations, but the inflation that SESD has experienced has also been felt by the city, and the SESD board has repeatedly rejected any adjustments to the pilot agreement without negotiation. This is really the first time as a community we've had SESD come before us asking to reopen something, and we've been asking to reopen our end of the bargain for a while here, Hapworth said. The request is for 2 additional board members because the issue is we are being constantly outvoted every time we try to discuss what is unfair. We're a pretty reasonable group here. We understand that there's difficult decisions that need to be made and that things cost more. But we've been asking for this for more than a decade and not even gotten the courtesy of a response on it. Any adjustments to the pilot agreement or changes to the SESD board makeup would have to occur at the legislative level. Michelson said that conversations are ongoing between SESD and the legislative delegation as to how to reconcile Salem's request with the member communities. The pilot, in particular, is a very complex issue, with conversations that have been going on for almost 20 years, Michelson said. it's not a simple issue given the shared resources across the five communities. Everyone understands the need to act, and there's been good leadership from the State House to find a solution. We're just going to keep working at it. Early Voting for Primary Begins Saturday by Christian M. Wade. Massachusetts voters can go to the polls beginning this weekend to nominate candidates for U.S. Congress, governor, and other contested races as early voting gets underway, but tens of thousands have already cast ballots through the mail. From Saturday, August 28, cities and towns will allow registered voters to cast early ballots ahead of the September 1st statewide primary. No excuse or justification is required to cast a ballot ahead of time. But many voters have already cast ballots. As of Monday, more than 185,000 primary ballots already have been cast through the mail, according to Secretary of State Bill Galvin's office. To date, many voters have requested more than 650,000 mail ballots, most of which have already been sent out, Galvin's office said. The deadline to request a ballot is August 25th. More than 5 million people are eligible to vote in Massachusetts, elections officials say. The majority, about 64%, are not affiliated with a political party. Under Massachusetts' system of open primaries, so-called unenrolled voters can choose a Republican or Democratic ballot. Voters who are registered as Democrats can vote only in the Democratic primary, while Republicans can vote only on the GOP ballot. In the Democratic primary, topping the ballot is a marquee race between incumbent U.S. Senator Ed Markey and challenger Representative Seth Moulton, which has tested loyalties among the party's ranks locally and nationally, and is playing out amid a debate over generational change. Markey, 80, who was first elected to Congress in 1976, is running on his experience in Washington and wants voters to send him back to the Senate for another 6 years. He won the Democratic Party's endorsement at its convention in June after picking up more than 70% of the vote from delegates. Moulton, 47, has framed his insurgent primary challenge around the push for generational change in the Democratic Party after it lost the White House and Congress to Republicans in the 2024 election. Moulton picked up nearly 27% of the votes at the convention, more than enough to secure a spot on the Democratic primary ballot. A University of Massachusetts at Amherst WCVB poll released Monday showed Markey with a 60% to 32% lead over Moulton. Previous polls have shown a tightening race. Both candidates have raised more than $12 million since the race got underway, according to Federal Election Commission filings. The winner of the Democratic primary race will face Republican John Deaton, a cryptocurrency attorney and advocate, making his second run for U.S. Senate. Voters on the North Shore will also be deciding who will be the Democratic nominee to replace Moulton on the November ballot. A crowded field of six hopefuls are vying for the party's nomination. They are Bethany Andres Beck of Middleton, John Betcha of Linfield, Jamie Belcito of Topsfield, Dan Coe of Andover, Mariah Lancaster of Salem, and Tram Nguyen of Andover. The wide open race has been the state's most expensive congressional primary of the election cycle, with the candidates collectively raising more than $10 million, according to FEC disclosures. Internal polls released by several of the campaigns have shown a tight race, but there has been no independent polling. The winner of the Democratic primary will face Republican Micah Jones, an Essex lawyer and U.S. Army veteran, in the November 3rd election. Jones is running unopposed. U.S. Representative Laurie Trahan, a Westford Democrat, is running unopposed on the Democratic primary ballot. She will face Acton Republican Gary Grossi, who is also unopposed on the primary ballot in November. On the Republican ticket, former biotech executive Mike Minogue is facing off against venture capitalist and former MBTA head Brian Shortsleeve in the GOP gubernatorial primary. The winner of the Republican gubernatorial primary will face incumbent Governor Maury Haley, a first-term Democrat who is unopposed on the September 1st ballot. Voters can find sample ballots with the candidates and look up early voting locations and times on the Secretary of State's website, www.voteinmass.com. Group Working to Rehome Barrels by Caroline Enos. A group of North Shore residents have come together to keep thousands of trash and recycling barrels out of landfills now that more communities are switching to automated trash pickup. The group started out of Marblehead in June, when residents, including Barbara Roy, grew distressed at seeing neighbors' plastic bins piling up at the town dump upon the town issuing new standardized bins made specially for automated curbside waste pickup that would start July 1st. "I couldn't stand it," Roy said. "I went down to the dump, I put them in my car, and I brought them back to my house." Soon, resident Ann Murphy started a Facebook page called Marblehead Mass Recycling Barrel Swap, where locals who wanted to get rid of their bins could connect with people who needed them for yard waste or lived in towns where automated pickup hasn't gone into effect. Soon, the driveways of participating members were filled with bins. They found a new centralized spot to keep the bins through Peabody resident Suzanne Slater, who reached out to take in some barrels after she saw a link to the Facebook group. "The trash guys work hard, but they're constantly tossing the bins, so our recycling bin literally didn't have a bottom," Slater said. "I refuse to go buy new ones because they're $100 or more to replace." Slater met Roy and was inspired by the initiative. She got permission from St. John the Baptist School in Peabody, where she teaches, to keep bins in the school's parking lot over the summer. She, her husband, and their children helped bring the bins over from Marblehead in the family's new truck. People began stopping by the school to drop off bins or pick them up, driving from as far as New Hampshire and Maine to grab some of the barrels. Some plan to resell their new bins, which the group didn't mind as long as they didn't end up in a landfill. It's really been amazing to see the turnout of people from all walks of life, all different political affiliations, just coming together and really working for the betterment of the environment as well as the community, Slater said. In all, more than 2,500 bins were saved from Marblehead's dump. I've just been so touched by the people, the community, Roy said. The rush in Marblehead has died down since most people have gotten rid of their old barrels. With school starting up soon, the main bin pickup and drop-off site has been moved from St. John the Baptist School to a home on Lynn Street in Peabody. Now the group's eyes are on Beverly, and it has renamed the Facebook group North Shore Mass Trash and Recycling Barrel Migration to make this a fully regional effort. Beverly also switched to automated trash pickup on July 1st when it began its new waste and recycling contract with Casella. In partnership with Casella, Beverly offered a curbside collection of old bins during the last week of July and will host another the week of September 21st. But the group is still busy picking up the barrels to rehome, especially member Ben Hacker. The Beverly resident has been out collecting bins using a trailer attached to his Prius for weeks now. He fixes them up and has worked with the city to host a barrel exchange event at Beverly High School over the weekend. Waste management and recycling has been a passion of mine, Hacker said. The Boston Globe ran an article about me when I was a child recycling bottles and cans. I've always been focused on reuse and keeping things out of the waste stream. So far, about 1,500 bins have been rehomed out of Beverly. Everyone loves it. People want to see stuff reused, Hacker said. The group expects barrels will start coming in from Manchester by the Sea and Gloucester soon, as those two communities switch to automated pickup this fall. If you have barrels you'd like to part with, or if you want any of the barrels saved, email Roy at brolive@gmail.com or go to the Facebook group North Shore Mass Trash and Recycling Barrel Mitigation. It's a dream. Renovations to One Stop Market reflect family values. By Jamie Pope. For the past 20 years, owners of One Stop Market and Liquor Store, the Gill family, has prided itself on adapting to what their customers want. Family members claim that's one of the biggest reasons why the 311 Cabot Street location has been so successful since it opened in 1996, before expanding to liquor sales in 2008, and having been named a top choice of readers for four straight years by a regional publication. That success, and their desire to do more, led brothers Preet and Prab Gill to expand the existing store with renovations that took up a year to complete. They've added 300 square feet, including a new entryway, and used 1,500 square feet of the previous dead space to add more products. the renovations began in April 2025 and didn't end until this past April, with a few minor finishing touches added since. The store didn't close for a single day during the overhaul. Prob designed the remodel, and not only is he blown away by the finished product, but so are the thousands of customers who come in on a weekly basis. "We had to be creative with the space that we had," said Prob, noting that the family also plans on renovating the family's second business location at 174 Rantoul Street. "We changed shelves so they now hold 4 to 5 times as much wine as before. People walk in and say that they can't believe it's the same store," he added. "We want to keep it local and maintain those relationships with the people here. We listen to what they want. We take pride in what we do, even before the renovations," Preet added. "This renovation shows we're committed not just to the business side, but to the city itself. We love Beverly. It's a great place to live. I couldn't talk more or better about Beverly." Their father, Jaspal, who started One Stop in 1998, said he's proud of his sons, who've taken over operations. "The store is bigger. It's neat and it's clean," he said. "It was both of my sons' ideas. Smart ideas." Everything changed. The Beverly customers are very happy. That's all we have time for today. I hope you'll be listening to the Talking Information Center again in the near future.